And welcome to ABW Live, a Bird Camp Wonderland. I am your host today, all the way from North Carolina across the pond. It's me, the Colonial Cannon, the Shredder, the other Jason, OJ as well. Joined today by a couple of underweather fans who I think five goals and only one real error in a game has got them feeling a little bit better. Ellis, John, how are you guys?
Very good. Even better now. Sorry, before Ellis jumps in. Yvonne straight in with a £2 donation. Not staying for long as tired, but 9 in a row. Yes, thank you very much, Yvonne. Always.
Lovely, Yvonne. Thank you.
So much for that. Yeah, me and Ellis are a little worse for wear today. But that certainly cheered me up. I don't know about you, Ellis.
Yeah, definitely. I must admit, as the game sort of drawn on, my hangover was easing off a bit and the goals started coming. It's a nice little combination. It helped me a bit. So I'll keep going. I'll try and struggle on through the radio show and make sure I look presentable and sound presentable.
I think for the first time in the history of us doing the radio show, it's not me that's either drunk or hungover. So we're doing all sorts of good things here today. Get back into here and get into the chat box here. Say hello to Daz316, who was first there. A Bag of Dicks. Hello. Steven Edwards is in there. Spiridisis. Let's see. Darren Hopkins. Steven Edwards. Billy Butler. Tom Hardwick. Marco Bricks UK. Frank Gunner. Let's see. Who else do we got? Michael Harneman. Hello. And 235100. J. Rob. Joshua Page. C. Law AFC. Grant Wilburn. Who else? That black guy. I feel bad saying that, but that's his name. Thomas from Norway is also in there. John Constantino is in there. Who else do we have? Who else? Loki73, as always. Thank you guys for joining us today. James Resnick also in there as well. Appreciate you guys. Yin Yang Gooner. Hello, hello. Thank you guys for joining us. Great day to join as well. 5-1 coming off of a Carabag Thursday match where we had to travel quite a distance coming in to an early kickoff on Sunday because, you know, the league doesn't care about the Arsenal. Did you guys have any sort of, before we even get into the lineups, any sort of worries about maybe a Europa League hangover coming into this match? Ellis, we'll start with you.
I wasn't too worried. I think the team lineup was probably based a bit on the fact that we had gone to Carabag and gone so far and then had to come back and be back in playing football in the Premier League on Sunday in the early kickoff as well. But I wasn't too worried. I think the players, we've got a good rotation. The players we've got a lot of players that we can chop and change. Obviously they chopped and changed it a lot for the midweek game. And today there's even more changes from the previous Premier League game that we had as well. In terms of the actual starters that we had, I was a bit surprised about Welbeck, Iwobi and Mkhitaryan all starting. I didn't expect that. But I think they all did a really good job, to be honest. They stepped up. A lot of the play was coming down sort of the left, I thought. Lincoln, Iwobi and Welbeck were sort of the most dangerous sort of combination we had coming from that left there. And we could have probably had a few more goals. And obviously, we'll come on to the goals in a bit more detail. But the first come from that left-hand play. And then even though we conceded or they equalised just before half-time, I still felt very confident going into the second half because we were creating a lot. And once the players started coming on the bench, we just started to add insult to injury and batter them, really. But yeah, I thought it was a good lineup. I don't think there was any sort of negatives that I can pick out, particularly on the personnel. I think they all did their jobs pretty well.
Six changes, if my memory serves me right, from Thursday, John. Obviously, no Ozil with the back spasms today. Iwobi comes in. It looks like we sort of switched in between with a 4-4-2 and sort of a more traditional, you know, 4-2-3-1 with Lacazette at times right beside Welbeck. I think you really started behind it, though, in the quote-unquote Ozil role. Did you have any issues with sort of maybe that experimentation, and do you think Fulham was the team that we could have, you know, sort of made these experiments with to give Emery maybe some more options down the road if we do have some further troubles with injuries?
I think the thing is all throughout this season, you're going to see games every now and again where we change things slightly and tweak it. And it was, like you said today, I think at times it was 4-4-2. Like when we defended, it was quite clear we had two up pressing, but we've seen that in a couple of games so far this season. And we were very fluid in our in Lacazette and Welbeck on what positions exactly that they were taking up. So I was pleased to see it because at times we were going forward with two clear strikers, which was exciting. Because Lacazette almost played kind of the role Ramsey had been playing quite a lot this season for large periods of the games. But, you know, it worked because, I mean, you should look at the result we got today. The midfield, I thought, was much more disciplined. And it was good to see that many changes and that we can rotate our squad that much because, I mean, what was it, Baku we played in on Thursday, which is a seriously long trip. Coming back and then having to play Sunday as well, like early kickoff, like you said in the intro. I don't know how the leagues can get away with this. Changing, you know, game times and stuff just for TV is kind of ridiculous. But luckily we weren't punished for it because I was a little bit worried. You know, Fulham haven't had the best start to the season, but well, it's just amazing performance all round today and so pleased. And the guys, and every time someone comes in for Unai at the moment, they all seem to be doing the job and just getting the results. You can't ask for anything more.
I was a little surprised that we sort of started, especially Welbeck, I think, was my biggest surprise with Aubameyang on the bench and coming off. Getting into it early on, though, the game quite open. You know, Leno has to make a pretty great save in the third minute. We go back down, have a lovely ball in that they're able to deal with before it can get to Mkhitaryan. The first sort of 20 minutes, it seemed like it took us a little while to get into the game. And a couple of players, Mkhitaryan, I think, especially early on, a lot of people were saying that, you know, they didn't realize he was on the pitch. Welbeck seemed just a bit lost. Do you think that was us sort of trying to just find our feet against a Fulham team who hasn't been really good this season, but they actually played pretty well today at home? And Ellis, do you think that had to do with anything with them sort of stepping their game up and knowing that we could have that hangover and trying to sort of go at us? Because they did look pretty good for the first 20 minutes of the match.
Yeah, they did. I think they had a very aggressive press. That was quite clear to see. And the goal they scored sort of come from that. They sort of pressured Nacho into making that mistake. And you could see that's the way they wanted to play. I think one thing we can say about this Unai Emery Arsenal is that we are quite slow to start. I think this is probably the fifth or sixth time that we've been drawing at half-time and then gone on to win the match, which is a good start, but it does show that we're not really starting that quick. But I think it's probably due to the fact of the way he's trying to get Arsenal to play. So it's obviously, we all know about him trying to play it from the back and passing it out. And teams to try and counteract that and get dividends out of it, like Fulham did today, will try and press. And you can see, and I think Dom brought it up on a couple of radio shows ago, that we seem to really click in after sort of the 60th, 70th minute in a game and really go for teams and start looking good then and look a lot fitter. But I think it's probably because we're passing around, teams are trying to press us, they're getting tired. You can't press aggressively like Fulham tried to today for 90 minutes. You just can't, unless you've got a team full of engines that can just run and run all day, and you're not going to have that. So they'll press, they'll get tired, gaps will start to open up, and that's when we'll start to click in. And I think, again, that happened today, but we do still look a bit dodgy. I think there's a couple of players in the team that don't really suit this style, per se, or are just not used to it. There was a couple of times as well, Hector Bellerin sort of trying to pass out the back, pass it into the middle, and neither Xhaka nor Torreira really locked onto it, and they got through. And there was a few balls like that. Again, the goal that they scored come from them putting pressure on us and us trying to make a pass that wasn't really on. But like you say, it looks quite dangerous. It's quite open. It is quite scary being that open, but we're still defensively solid at the same time. Other than the mistake of Nacho Monreal, I thought to get today, our defence looked really good. Leno really didn't have to do much other than try and save that awkward one, like you said, in the 3 minutes when it sort of changed direction and obviously the goal that they scored. But other than that, he wasn't really tested or worked that hard. So I think the defence have to be quite happy with their performance today, even though they did concede a goal.
Yeah, you know, again, some players, and I think it's been a consistent theme this season, John, that the first half, we just, I don't know if it's the way that maybe Emery's trying to set up and do something, you know, very specific in his game plan that he sees that he makes every week. And then we come in and make some adjustments at halftime. They get tired in the second half, we're better. What are you seeing in these first halves that you think are sort of, is it just, you know, for like the way that we're trying to play inside the formation? Do you think it's the opponents? What's causing these slow starts? Because I think that's really, obviously, I'm not trying to like nitpick and find the crap lining in today's, yeah, you know, silver game. But at the same time, you know, Fulham came out really, really well against us. And do you think it's just the players sort of trying to settle in and figure out what it is that Emery wants to do early on in these games?
Yeah, it's still very early days in terms of what he's doing with the team. I mean, like Ellis mentioned about passing out from the back there, you know, we've referenced this before. You look at Man City first season Pep was in, and when they were playing out from the back, City fans were terrified because it looked really, really shaky and nervous at times, and they were giving up some bad goals and stuff. And we've made some mistakes this season, and today there was a little, you know, there was an error that did lead to a goal, but all the goals we scored, if you watch where the build-up starts from, it does work from the back, and it's really good. The slow start thing, I think you can put partly down to the early kickoff. We have travelled long distance. I know we made some changes, but that disrupts the team a bit as well. And I think there was some tweaks today in the formation. There were periods where we were playing with two clear strikers today, in particular when Aubameyang came on as well. So that's all still adjustments as well. Ramsey wasn't in the team. Ozil wasn't in the team as well, who have been pretty much, you know, consistently there the whole time. So there's still people working things out and learning stuff. But I thought even you have to give some credit to Fulham, because I thought Iwobi in particular was really good at running with the ball today again. He's had a great season so far. He was really taking people on and trying to make things happen. And I'm trying to remember, I think it was Ream and Le Marchand made some really good tackles, particularly in the first half, where if they hadn't got the block in, I think Lacazette would have had a tap in Welbeck as well, where we got down to the byline, used the width of the fullbacks and stuff, and used the movement from Mkhitaryan and Iwobi to create the bit of space. So I think some credit goes to Fulham, because I thought defensively they were quite decent in the first half, and their keeper as well made some very good saves in the game, one in particular from Hector. But, you know, it's going to take a while for it to click. But as long as we keep winning and stuff, you know, we can start every game slowly, as far as I'm concerned, if we finish in the way we did today.
Yeah, good stuff there. A couple more people here in the chat box. Daniel Block, Nikki Wilson, always here. Carlito El Gunner, Paul Alvis, Thunder Road here as usual as well. Sir Antonius Black, Ant CL1082, Neil Vigela, Ted Woods, Adriano Macro. Thanks for joining, guys. If you guys like what you're hearing, like that Welsh Justice isn't on after a lovely Ramsey back heel that we'll come on to a little bit later, give us a thumbs up. Show him a little love by showing this Jason a little love. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it. Obviously, Alexander G also in there. Steve Thana, C'est la vie, Archie. After about the 20th minute of that slow start, Ellis, we really seemed to pick up, and we were rewarded with some lovely play down the left-hand side. I think it was Shaka who played the original ball to Iwobi, who then left it for Nacho. And then I'll let you sort of take it from here, because it was real. Actually, hang on 1 second. Petito 100, $5. Thank you so much. This is definitely going to make the fat man and button monkey very, very happy, as he can now afford some more mini cheddars, as I hear he's back on them. So that would be great. Thank you, guys. We really appreciate it. But Ellis, that first goal, talk us through that wonderful finish there from Lacazette.
Yeah, I'm trying to work my way through it. It's annoying, isn't it? We really like games when we get loads of goals, but when there is so many, it's just hard, like being on a podcast, trying to rack your mind back and think about how they all sort of they happen. Like, I can remember the goal we conceded, because that was one, but all of the five, I'm just going to have to like give myself a couple of seconds just to remember what happened. But yeah, it was a well-worked goal. It came from the left again. We looked quite good sort of attacking that left-hand side, especially with the way we've mentioned how well he played. And Fulham, I think this is the first time they've set up with a back three, and their sort of wing-backs didn't really help much defensively. So there was a lot of space in behind in those areas. That's why Iwobi was doing so well, because their wing-back just wasn't tracking him back. And he picks it up there. I think Lacazette might have knocked it down and then played it to Iwobi, who then ran out. And then on the overlap, Monreal came in and played it in. And the touch from Lacazette was just sublime. And it's literally, we'll come on to it later, the Aubameyang goal. They're like carbon copies, but on the other sides of the pitch. But the first touch was perfect, sets it for him, gives him space. And in that area of the goal, you just don't doubt Lacazette. It's something that he'd done for his time at Lyon, which made him so prevalent, made him a target for us to try and sign. And since he's been here, I just feel a lot more confident. In the past, we used to have no offence to Olivier Giroud because he was a quality servant for the club. And the strikers we did have, I would sometimes question their ability in those sorts of situations. But now we've got two players, the likes of Lacazette and Aubameyang. It's just mental to think that today we brought Aubameyang off the bench and we've got Lacazette who's already on the pitch. He's just scored two brilliant goals as well. And it was just, it was just quite a well-worked goal. And you could just see it was coming at points. I know, like we said before, that goal it was a bit too open for our liking, but there was definitely chances for us to come. And it should, really. The link-up play there with Iwobi and Nacho was really good. They sort of helped each other out. Again, I mentioned Iwobi and Welbeck at times would be over there and they were linking up well. And if it wasn't for a lot of the Fulham defenders sort of cutting up balls, nipping out and some good defending, we may have already been two or three goals up before they equalised after that first Lacazette goal. But it was a brilliant touch and great finish. And it's just something that we're going to get used to seeing with Lacazette because he's a quality player. I think it took him a little while to adjust to the Premier League, but now he's here. I think the fact that he's got Aubameyang and those two have got this massive bromance going on helps him massively. And he looks like he gets on quite well with a lot of members of the squad. And there's something that I didn't realise when we signed him, or didn't know about him. I knew he was a good goal scorer, but he worked so hard. And today, not just the goals he scored, but the way he played and tracked back and won the ball and put in these little niggly fouls. Because sometimes defending doesn't start from, it starts from the front. Your strikers have got help. Like if you stop the attack that they're creating in their own half, and you can almost transition that into your own attack. And I think Lacazette is really good at sort of tracking back, dropping in, picking at the ball, linking up well everyone on the team. And I think for me, obviously, we might go and talk about a man in the match, but Lacazette's got to be in the conversation for that. And that was a brilliant goal to start off the day, really.
Yeah, let's actually talk about Lacazette a little bit here, John. Without, I don't want to I don't want to inflate the ego of the pirate too much. But he's been on the Lacazette train for some time now.
Yeah.
He comes in last season. I think it was, 16 goals in all competitions for the team, something like that. In his first season, he had a little bit of an injury. He also had some time on the bench as well. Olivier Giroud was a player that with his, I thought we lost a lot with him moving to Chelsea with his back to goal. And obviously, Lacazette's not going to be the aerial threat that Giroud is, but I think playing with a taller target man up top like today with Welbeck, we can now, if we don't have to play out of the back, we have the target man up front.
Yeah.
Do you think that has helped that any? And how have you seen sort of Lacazette's transition? Because Mr. Davis put it in the chat group with us earlier today that and I 100% agree. He's got to be our player of the season so far. Ellis said, the work rate that he's putting in is and his production that he's putting in has really got him up there. And do you think that is the reason why we're now nine on the trot?
I think the switch for him being the main striker has definitely improved the team. No disrespect to Aubameyang, who's having a great season as well, but the work rate that Lacazette gets through up front, not just the goals, we spoke about the first one, we'll speak about the second one in a minute, but the effort he puts in tracking back, hassling players, defenders, closing down goalkeepers. As you say, he's not going to win you the ball in the air very often, but he's got so much stronger since his first season. He's physically bulked up a bit. He's rolling players now. I think he was a little bit, not daunted, but he just wasn't quite physically ready for the Premier League in his first year. And his link-up play is fantastic. You know, he can lay it off very well. He's very technically gifted. I think it's the part of the game that Aubameyang misses, but obviously he makes up with it in his pace, and that's why they dovetail so well together. That's kind of old school what we saw a little bit today. With Welbeck's obviously very quick as well, and he's got that pace, but he's an extremely physical player who's going to win you the ball in the air, and it's kind of harked back to the old school big man little man up front combo. That, you know, I'm sure people in the chat will remember, you know, if you're an England fan, it was like Heskey and Owen for years. And everyone used to go, why is Emil Heskey in the team? He doesn't do anything. All he does is win the ball for Michael Owen to score the goals. And you kind of saw the interplay between Welbeck and Lacazette today doing that. But he's without doubt being our most consistent performer. And what I love about him is even in the games where he's had a couple of games where he hasn't taking the opportunity quite right, but his head never drops, never goes down. He just keeps plugging away, keeps getting a chance, and eventually gets the goal. And his finishing, just the way he hits the ball, is brilliant. His awareness in the box as well. As a couple of people in the chat have already said, it does kind of remind me a little bit of Ian Wright. They're not the same player in terms of style or anything like that, but he's just knowing where the goal is at all times. He's back to goal, he can spin, and he knows exactly where the bottom corner is on the left or the right, the top. You know, he's got this image in his head, and he knows where everything is, and that's a great ability to have.
I knew he would be okay once he got settled in, and now that we are seeing him settle in, I do think we're going to continue. It's just nice. You know, Ellis, I think, mentioned it, is we're not used to having a clinical, like a really clinical striker who, you know, is – if he gets a chance, you're pretty confident he's going to make it. We really haven't had that since, you know, RVP, you know, way back in the early part of this decade. And now we've got two. So, you know, I think it's great as a fan to be able to go in and know that. And I absolutely love the fact that he didn't even turn his whole body, but he was still able to wrap his foot around and get through the ball and slot it home near post, which was just absolutely lovely, lovely finish there. Mr. Davis in the chat box. Hello, sir. Yes, tappy tappy. Hit it so he doesn't yell at you. Our good friend Lord Hill Wood from Poland is in there as well. Some guy named Ellis. Don't know who he is. K-Man 1867. Gunnar Sunil Kashyap. Thank you. Mark Andre. Hello, hello. Chill Doctor. Rudy Raslos. Hello, pal. How are you? Appreciate you guys joining us today. What a great day to join us. I mean, we put that goal in. We look like we're rocking, but we're not as convincing, and Fulham definitely still have a little bite. And just before the halftime whistle in the 44th minute, Andre Schürrle turns up. Somebody who I was very surprised that, you know, Fulham got from Dortmund after he bounced around from Chelsea back to the Bundesliga at Wolfsburg, then Dortmund. Now coming into Fulham, a newly promoted team, comes in. Vieto plays a great ball that he only got due to an error on us. And John, I'm going to come to you on this one first here. And there have been a couple of times this year when we just try to get too cute and it backfires quickly. And it looks like Nacho tried to do the same here today, didn't he?
Yeah, they're trying to do what the manager wants. And I'm sure that at the end of the game, you know, when they train again, you know, we'll sit down with all the players and say, look, this is why we conceded the goal. And, you know, you need to adjust your position 5 yards here. And Nacho, you should have played the ball in there. There's times to play it out from the back, and then there's other times where you just have to go long and clear your lines. He tried to play the ball, and he tried to stick with what the manager wants, which I think I applaud. That's fine. The problem is, you know, Fulham a few times before that had already kind of pounced. Sessegnon on the other side had pounced on some loose balls from Bellerin. Seri in the middle had sort of broke in and got onto loose passes as well. So there's still teething problems with that. But you've got to say that from that, it's a lovely little no-look pass from Vieto, and Schürrle, you know, very calm and waits to sit down Leno, who, you know, does really well, comes out and closes down the space, but it is a perfect finish. I saw some people complaining about the space between the centre-backs on the goal. The reason they're so wide is because we are playing out from the back, and because at that point in time, we're in possession of the ball. It's disappointing. It would have been really nice to get another clean sheet today, obviously. Nacho will be upset that he gave the ball away, and I'm sure, you know, Holding will be upset that a man's run off his back and he hasn't had a shout, that kind of thing. But it's one of those things, it happens. Look, if we go on and win every game for the rest of the season 5-1, Nacho do that every week, that's fine. You know, I don't have a problem with it. But yeah, they're the little things that you'll tweak, and they're going to cost you in games. But we went out today, we didn't waste our chances, we took most of them. And that's great against the better teams, like, you know, like the Liverpools and Liverpool, Chelsea, you know, City, those kind of guys. We're going to have to tighten up on those things, and perhaps in those games the players will have in their head the mentality of, okay, we can't play out from the back quite so often and so easily. But yeah, that was like realistically my only complaint of today was that goal. It was just a little bit of sloppiness and like bad decision making.
Yeah, Ellis, were you concerned at all with the timing of that goal right before halftime at all?
Yeah, it's very frustrating because I don't know what other people's streams were, what broadcaster they watched it with, but on BT when I was watching it today, they were literally just sharing a highlight of Lacazette's goal. I was feeling quite happy. Look, this looks quite good. That was a great goal. And then all of a sudden it cuts back to Nacho Monreal running towards the touchline, having naffle options really, and then trying to play it to a player who's along the ground, who's got two defenders in the way, and we turn it over. And it's very frustrating, and it just makes Unai Emery's team talk at halftime that a little bit more difficult. Because other than, like we said, there was a couple of times where he turned it over, but this is just the teething problems of trying to get this team to play the way that Unai Emery wants us to play. And like John mentioned, there are times when you can't play out from the back, when if you don't have your options, you just need to lump it. And you don't need to stick to your guns 100% of the time. There's always going to be time for the other team, because Fulham did it well, they pressed well, they cut out the options, and there won't be an option on. So you need to go back to your keeper, or you just need to lump it up the pitch as far as you can, because it's less likely for them to score than it is just passing it along the ground near the edge of your box. Because what he did, he basically he played that pass. Positionally, the rest of the team were in good positions, but he just left a massive gap there. And then he can't cover the gap because he's failed the pass and he's ran out of position to make the pass that's not really on. And then they come for it and score from it. So it is very frustrating. But like John said, Unai Emery will probably go and have a little chat and say, look, this is what happened. This is why, because you know he likes his video analysis, will probably show a video of that goal to the team and say, this is why we concede, and we can cut this out by doing this, this, and this. If you come in here, if you come back there, because like I think Jason Davies mentioned it in the chat earlier when we were talking about the goal. He'd had no options there. Other players should have been a bit closer and should have tried and presented himself. I thought Xhaka and Torreira positioning were okay, but either Welbeck or Iwobi, whoever was sort of patrolling that left flank, needed to come a bit closer and give Nacho more of an option if he is going to try and pass out. But at the end of the day, we go in, we're drawing. It could be worse, it could be better, but we come out and we look a lot better, and we'll come on to it, but we just sort of draw them apart towards the end of the game.
Yeah. So go into halftime. It's 1-1. Halftime seems to be, I think, Emery's sort of special place where he goes in and tweaks and changes. And we come out, and in the 49th minute, just an absolutely beautiful ball from Welbeck to Lacazette. Lacazette's able to get to the top of the box, create a little space, and John, he just again slots home with such a cool, calm finish, but from outside the box as well, and to be able to hit it that hard and that low, almost no chance for the Fulham keeper.
Yeah, it's the one thing, if you've never seen Lacazette sort of from his Lyon days, it's worth going back and watching some of the goals he scored for Lyon, because I'd imagine a lot of Arsenal fans who haven't seen him previously just kind of view him as this fox in a box and the way he finishes and stuff. But some of the goals he scores from outside the box are unbelievable when he can really, really hit the ball. One in particular to go check out is against Roma in the Europa League for his last season with Lyon. But he can really rifle it. Sometimes it's finesse. But yeah, just awareness, just enough to make a little bit of space. You know, and that goal came from, I think at first it was just sort of a clearance and gets knocked up and Welbeck wins a head on, and that was just kind of a flick on. So it wasn't like it was beautiful passing move like all the other goals you scored today. So it shows you can have that bit of directness, but his awareness of where the defender is, where the keeper is, and where the goal is at all times is fantastic. And I just thought he was superb today. And that finish was something special. But yeah, definitely if you haven't seen him, go and check out some of his other goals, because he really, really can rifle them from outside the box. And I'd expect it's something we'll see a little bit more of. And I think because he had that kind of freedom today with Welbeck up front, you know, because he had that little bit kind of, okay, I can kind of play off Welbeck sometimes, you get that little bit of space off the defender, which just gives you that yard or two. So you get time to have a shot like that. So really good.
Yeah. And again, Ellis, one of the things that like really sort of pleased me about that was that goal came from a Fulham throw. Deep in their half. And it's one of those times where I think the deeper we go into matches, the more our pressing really starts to pay off, because I think even coming out of halftime, we just seem to be a little more up for it pressing wise, which was really good. But it was nice to actually for us to score off of a throw instead of us having a throw and then them scoring off of her once, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's nice. And it's good to see because, again, I'm turning this into a Billy Lacazette wankfest now. Chris is going to be loving it. He leads by example by doing that press. It's something that we've just mentioned he's really good at. And I think when you see one player doing it and getting dividends as well, this will help to sort of show the guys in the teams who, I'm not saying they are skeptical about the sort of pressing game, but it's much easier to convince people a certain way of playing is better when you're getting good results. If you're not getting good results or anything from it, then people are going to wonder, well, should we be doing this tactic? And it worked really well. I think previously, I don't want to forget about it, was the Hector Bellerin chance. That was a stinger. The keeper done really well to save that. And then that sort of, it all arised after that or came about after that for this goal for Lacazette. And yeah, it shows that defending doesn't have to be when they get into your box. You can push them up, you can win the ball. And we've seen like Klopp's Liverpool do it really well. They get a lot of goals from sort of pressing up, winning the ball in the opponent's own half and creating chances. And it also, and we can see it, as you say, we know firsthand what it feels like for that to happen to us. And it puts the shivers up defenders. They get a bit nervous. If they've lost the ball once, they've had a chance, they start getting a bit nervous with the ball. They try things they wouldn't really try. And it just makes it easier for us to attack, especially once you win the ball. Like you say, if you win the ball close to goal, there's less transition there for you to make it and turn it into an attacking play. So yeah, it was good, great goal from Lacazette. I think both his finishes today were good. And again, like what John said, he can do that Roma goal against Roma in the Europa League. That was a quality goal, and it'd be nice to see that because we haven't really had that other than sort of Xhaka in the last two seasons. No one's really like fizzed goals in from out wide out of the box. But so it was good to see. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, cheers, Gunnar Sunil. It says, Bergkamp Portland, cheers. I've been a long-time listener of the pod. You guys do a fantastic job. Thank you. I hope we do a fantastic job. And if we do, tappy-tappy, folks. Come on. Don't make me do my terrible Davies impression. Come on now. There's 319 of you in here. That's not as terrible. Anyway, I'll stick to my my Southern
when
American
did James become a Cockney Londoner?
Yeah, I don't know. it's close enough though, right? So yeah, keep hitting that like button. If you guys haven't already, also hit the bell, subscribe, know when we go live after each match. It'll send you an email. You'll be alerted. You can see our beautiful faces, hopefully after more 5-1 victories here. So yeah, hit that bell, subscribe. That way you'll know when anything new is either live or uploaded, whether it's a podcast or an ABW live. Speaking of the podcast, yours truly will be on this next week coming up. Myself, Dom, Aussie Dom, and then our good friend OG will be joining. It's a North American / Australian special. They'll be coming out this week, so look forward to that. All right, little bit of time goes by. Fulham have a couple of decent chances. They actually had a lot of possession in the second half, actually, this match. I think they had more possession than we had in the game, if my memory serves me right here. Let me just double-check who scored here. Well, 49-51, basically, there on the possession. So we just sort of eked them out there. And it looked like we almost sort of invite teams now to have a little more possession so that we can press them a little bit higher, so that we can sort of get them a little bit stretched, just like teams used to do to us, John. And I think we saw that because for our third goal, it was actually sort of they had been stretched a little bit and tried to attack. Mustafi makes a great tackle at the touchline and wins the ball, keeps it in play, and then picks up his head and picks out a pass here that starts this beautiful first, I think it was six first touches, a beautiful back heel looped sort of pass from Bellerin right after Ramsey had come on 39 seconds into the match, and Davies has to clean himself up. after a lovely Ramsey back of there, but talk us through Emery ball, our Emery ball goal.
Yeah, I mean, that was beautiful. That it's cool because what I like about it is kind of a hybrid of what Arsenal did in the early years under Wenger in how fast we would transition up the pitch, but it was generally sort of two or three players, and that was the pass, and that was how we did it, because it was, you know, give Dennis the ball and Dennis would find the pass and Thierry would get the goal. But today it was everyone, and again, it's that working out when you play out from the back, if you get it bang on, as we did in particular in that move, you just absolutely destroy teams. And we moved it up the pitch so well. Ramsey's little chip in up the line as well, where he's cut back helping out defence. As you said, Bellerin's little flick. Ramsey keeps it going in the air with his head and then heads it onto Mkhitaryan, and then does a perfect weight of pass for Aubameyang. Ramsey carries his run in. Aubameyang with a lovely ball across. And Ramsey just makes that run, knows where to go in the box. We've said it, you know, it's his big strength. And the finish is superb. He did a similar one against Spurs, I think. I'm not sure if it wasn't last season.
I think
season.
It was Spurs, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember what year it was, but that one was slightly more on the volley. But yeah, just very clever, great awareness, you know, position around the defender, going to use his body to angle it round, make sure the goalkeeper can't get there. And just the whole team move. It is wonderful. And he's just come on the pitch as well. You know, to be that involved in a move straight away and just bang, 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 straight up the pitch. And you could see how much Emery loved it, because it's clearly this sort of thing he's working on in training. The players are all celebrating together as well. There's such a good vibe around the team right now. Someone in the chat said, asked a question about compare that goal and Jack's one against Norwich a few years ago. It's so hard to do that, because, I mean, Jack's goal was fantastic as well, but it was just two players doing the little 1-2s, him and Giroud, off each other, whereas this is the whole team. But the finish from Ramsey is exquisite. I just loved everything about it, from winning the ball back, from the whole team working from the back to the front. And the times where we've done that so far this season, we've seen in little glimpses of it where it hasn't quite come off, or the finish hasn't been there, yeah, or the final ball hasn't made it. But today, everything was in sync for that. And it just that just put the nail in the coffin for Fulham, because that just absolutely killed them. And honestly, the fact it was only five today at the end of it, we could have had probably quite a few more, but the players are really enjoying themselves at that point. And you can see they're really loving their football, and clearly listening to the manager and his directions.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Ellis, let's take the focus off of our attack today, which was brilliant, and put it back on the defense here. Cause the move did start with, Mustafi doing something that Mustafi does often, which is go to ground. he gets a lot of stick for it. But I feel, you know, really bar the goal, today, holding looked good. Mustafi looked good. Bellerin had a couple of times. Obviously Nacho made the error, you know, on the pass and out of position, wasn't able to recover, but really all in all, I actually think we were somewhat solid at the back. Give us your thoughts on that. I mean, you know, a couple of really good performances here for Holding since Socrates went off injured. He's come in and sort of acquainted himself really well with Mustafi as well in a partnership. But I think today both of them played pretty well, considering the veracity at times that Fulham were getting forward.
Yeah, and I'm one of Mustafi's harshest critics. It's not that I don't think he's a good player. It's just the fact that, as someone's mentioned in the chat earlier just now, I think he's gone now. I can't see it anyway. But whoever you are, it was a very good point. He is a good player. He just has these lapses in concentration. And like you say, he goes to ground far too much. And sometimes it looks great. He wins the ball. And everyone's like, oh, well done. Good tackle. Great. And other times he's gone down. The player's skinned him. He's out of position. He's left whoever he's partnered with in a lot of shit. And we sometimes score a goal. And that's what pisses me off about Mustafi, and I'm sure that's what pisses a lot of people off. But I think deep down we do have a good player there. It's just strange, because is it something you can coach out of someone, those lapses in concentration? I don't know. But today I couldn't fault the defence, other than obviously the goal that we conceded, which was a mistake from an individual and collectively as well. Other than that, you couldn't fault them. And again, Bobby Holden, he's come in and replace Socrates, and to be fair, I think he'll feel a bit aggrieved if Socrates walks back into this team, because he's played well. He played well midweek and he played well today. He didn't really put a foot wrong. Mitrovic, I think he's had a few goals, or four or five goals this season. he barely got a look in. I think Mustafi and Holding kept him quiet and just bossed it, really. Like, the way they are playing, they're getting a lot better. The sort of these team problems are playing out from the back. They are helping Leno out a bit more. They seem a bit more confident in it. And yeah, like, that attack, that lovely goal, that it reminds me of that Gary Neville moment when he had his goalgasm when Torres scored. Like, I can just imagine, like, him, like, that commentary being played over that game when Ramsey flicks it in. That starts from some good defending, positioning, picking up the ball, and then boom, transition, you're going into attack. And when we get that balance right, it looks amazing and you get goals like that. It's just the times when we don't get that balance right and it can look a bit bad. But like John said, when Man City were doing it in the first, when Pep's first season there, they made a lot of mistakes. Unfortunately for our team, the first two games of the season were Chelsea and Man City. It's not the best two oppositions to try and show a new style of tactic to your players and get them confident in using it. But I feel like we'll be a bit more comfortable, especially when we play Liverpool a little later in the season. We've now had this run of games. This is 9 games undefeated now, playing this new style, and the confidence is building. I think we'll be better equipped when we play the big boys a bit later on the season than we would have been at the start of the season. But for me, we've never looked assured defensively at all this season. But today, even though we conceded, I couldn't really fault or criticise the players. There's not much. I know it's 5-1. You're going to struggle to criticise a team in 5-1. And if you are going to criticise them, maybe you should just focus on the fact that we won 5-1 and the goals. But today, it's so hard to pick out a problem with the defence. There wasn't many individual errors. Mustafi wasn't doing his usual sort of brain farts. And if he was, there were few and far between. And we covered ourselves well when he did. And the young Rob Holden had a good game as well. Bellerin involved a lot. Both Bellerin and Nacho are both heavily involved in attacks as well. So it shows that our defenders can not just defend well, but they can also transition well into attack and help out with attack. And today, you've just got to give them credit. When we've had a season where we have been very critical of defence and we've moaned a lot, today I don't think they deserve much criticism at all.
It's just coming in on that. It's now such a nice problem for Emery to have, or any manager, that Holding can come in and play so well. He looks so much more confident than he did last season, because he kind of looked a little bit broken and a bit shell-shocked at times from the guy that first came in. And every time he's come in so far and been asked to play, he's been really, really good. It's a great headache to have, because I think all three centre-backs, I think, have played really well this season. I think, yes, Mustafi's made some mistakes and I've been critical of him. But today I thought he was really good. He got some great blocks in. And I've just got, you know, whoever out of those three the manager picks now as the starting two centre-backs, I'm really not worried anymore. It's not something that's worrying me. And it's not just them. I think Leno coming in as well. You know, Cech has had a great start to the season. Obviously, unfortunate with that injury. But Leno's come in and I think it's made him more comfortable and confident with the playing out from the back, because they know that it's easier for them to pass to him and he can deal with it a bit better. Excuse me, a bit better. We've got Lichtsteiner to cover as well, right back for Bellerin. You know, Torreira and Xhaka are getting very settled now in front of them. They were very disciplined today as well defensively. I thought they didn't go too far. Torreira was amazing today. He was absolutely everywhere.
Yeah.
He's like the annoying wasp when you're having a picnic out somewhere, you know, in the park, and you just can't get rid of him. It's just constantly trying to swat him away.
Great analogy.
He's non-stop. Like, I don't know how he keeps running. And he was getting kicked and stood on and, like, getting his knee stamped on. And he's just like, yeah, fine, I'll get on with it. And, yeah, just the whole setup now feels so much more comfortable.
On Torreira, I don't know if anyone's noticed it or I've mentioned it in other podcasts and I've missed it, but I just think he complements Xhaka so well. We've got quite a good partnership with those two. Yeah. Like you just mentioned, he's buzzing around everywhere. He's got the energy. He's got the ability to get in, put a foot in, block, win the ball back, keep hold of it, win a foul. Whereas Xhaka doesn't really have that energy. What he does have, though, is that passing ability. All stats for all the games he played this season, he's up there with the most passes or the most touches. So he can help, again, from transitioning from a defence to attack, he's going to help with that. He just lacks that mobility. So it's sort of, it reminds me a bit, a completely different players, obviously, but it reminds me of when Coquelin and Sani Cazorla, when Wenger stumbled on that sort of partnership. Their weaknesses were balanced out by the other one's strengths, and the same seemed to be happening with Torreira and Xhaka. And I know Guendouzi started the season, he played well, but for me, those two have got to be, when we're playing like our strongest 11, those two probably got to be one of the first two names on the team sheet together, because they are forming quite a good partnership and they work so well together.
No, absolutely. And I think especially if you look at the heat maps, Torreira's sort of was all over the place today. Like you guys said, Shaka staying centrally. I think he's doing a much better job now as well, tracking runners when they come back. I was watching him off the ball when we didn't have it. He was dropping and running with players into our defensive line as well to make sure that they still had cover, which is really what you want to see from sort of your quote unquote holding midfielders there. And we all know that, you know, just Torreira is going to be there nipping at ankles and trying to do anything he can to win the ball and turn over possession there really quickly. So Aubameyang had come on before the Ramsey goal for Danny Welbeck. Assists the Ramsey goal. He also ended up scoring a goal, which was lovely. And I think I saw a stat that he's got what was it? Let me just find that, folks. Hang on 1 second. Talks amongst yourselves, please, because it's a stat worth looking at for sure.
Whilst you're doing that, Iwobi'd obviously gone off for Ramsey, which at first I was kind of like, ooh. I'm not sure about that, because I thought Mkhitaryan was probably, if you were talking about which one was playing better, I thought Iwobi was playing better, but it was actually the perfect move, because Iwobi had not quite run himself into the ground, but he looked quite tired when he'd come off.
Yep.
So it was a really smart sub in the end.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just to have those options off the bench. And again, I've been saying it all season. I've been so impressed with Iwobi. He's really stepped up this year. He looks so much more confident. And there was a couple of times today he did some absolutely lovely skill, nutmegged a few players and stuff.
Yep.
And you can see how he's related to JJ Okocha, if you're old enough to remember who he is.
I think it's his confidence has improved leaps and bounds as well. I think I was quite critical of him last season. I think a lot of people were. But again, Josh is sort of banging the drum for Iwobi, and he can probably look back now and be a bit smug, because he has been quality this season. Like you say, he looks like a different player. He's probably had a bit more coaching from memory, which is a bit different to what the Arsene Wenger style of just go out there, create, and he's getting confident. And football players with a bit of confidence behind them are going to be good football players, because they need that confidence. They're like that. They're all very vain, all footballers are. But when they know they can do it and they can try it, they'll try different things. And when they work out, they'll just gain more confidence. So I think he does really well. And he deserves credit for this season for like stepping it up.
No, he really does. And I definitely, you have to compliment him on the way he's been able to make the adjustment under Emery's system as well. And I think the fact that, you know, he got a lot of stick over the last couple of years from a lot of people. And, you know, now he seems to really just be thriving with, I think, more instruction, maybe, you know, a style that suits him better as well. And you know, seeing him do well is really good, because I think we forget a lot that he started at the academy, I think, when he was 8 or 9 years old. So he's, you know, he's been around, he's come through the ranks, and, you know, people always talk about, you know, especially Bellerin and Ramsey, but I think, you know, Iwobi gets overlooked in that aspect. So I found my stat. It's 23 games, 15 goals and 5 assists now for Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. The first goal, you know, basically like Ellis said, almost a carbon copy of the Lacazette goal, you know, gets the ball just at the edge of the 6-yard box, sort of is able to bring it down and then puts it in on the volley. And it's been a while since we've scored goals like this. You know, goals that I remember us scoring sort of when I started watching back in 2010. And I think we missed sort of these types of, we would do it occasionally, but not with our consistency, where we get to the byline, get our wide players to the byline, and then cut the ball back into the box and put it into a dangerous area. And it's paying us dividends now. And it doesn't hurt either, Ellis, that we have, you know, people like Aubameyang, like Lacazette, that are there to finish those chances off.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, in previous teams gone by, you'd worry a bit in those one-on-one situations that the striker might not put the ball on target. But with both those two guys, I just sort of take it for granted that we're going to get a goal. And more often than not, if we miss there, I'm more surprised than anything, let alone, whereas with other players, you're more surprised when they score sometimes. But with Lacazette and Aubameyang, they are just, like you say, just good goal scorers, good finishers. They both have different talents. Obviously, Aubameyang's got a lot more sort of pace than Lacazette, and Lacazette's got a bit more sort of better hold-up play and a touch. But again, carbon copies. Hector Bellerin sort of playing the role that I think it was Nacho on the other side plays the ball in. To Aubameyang, takes touch, spins exactly like Lacazette does and just puts it in, and it's just good to watch. There are good goals, well worked. And again, he goes on, scores another goal as well. It's just so nice to think that we've got these two 50 million strikers. The maddening thing for me as well is being so conditioned to our January signings being a bit underwhelming at times, or being ones for the future, or not really like kicking on, to have him bought in January for 50 million was just mind-blowing. I can remember thinking when they were putting all those pictures on Twitter of Sanelli and everyone in Dortmund and Ivan Gazidis, and thinking, nah, that's not going to happen. This is just media speculation. It's bullshit. It's not going to happen. And then we signed him, and it's just mental. Again, with Lacazette, Chris was banging on for him about him long before he joined Arsenal, and I imagine what I feel like for Aubameyang being in the club is what Chris feels like now. Just to have someone that you've seen play for another club and thinks really good and think he'd work really well, and to now have them both here, it's just joyful. It's just joy. I like love having them here. I love it. Can't get my words out. Aubameyang, like I said, I love you both. I wish I could be like the third member of your little bromance.
John, and it was again.
You've gone full robot there.
Oh no!
It's all right. We'll jump onto the last goal whilst you your headset.
Yeah, go run ahead.
The obviously the fifth goal, Aubameyang again, lovely finish. Ramsey picking up the ball in an advanced area and a lovely little slip ball through. I mean, Fulham at that point were just so done. Just give a little shout out to Aaron Ramsey, who's got a bit of hate lately from some people on Twitter. Not everyone. But because of the whole contract thing and what's going on. But, you know, definitely a player of Arsenal quality. His ego didn't get in the way today. I do wish he would stop doing all the flicks and tricks, though, because it's very annoying, isn't it, Ellis, when he does those flicks and tricks and he scores a goal like
disgusting.
That.
Disgusting. I mean, I just don't see why I can't kick the ball in the goal normally, properly. Yeah. Proper English goal. None of this sort of foreign fancy flick trick bollocks. Yeah.
Welsh foreigners just ruining our league. His little outside of the boot pass through to Aubameyang for another lovely goal.
Disgusting.
Yeah, I did see a few people. We're not going to mention who. There might have been some idiot in the crowd who got to celebrate with one of our players that, you know, yeah, didn't like that. But they very quickly, I think Hector Bellerin might have even noticed who he was. Gone, yeah, no, we won't celebrate with you. We'll just wheel away a little bit.
Love you, Hector. Like, come on, guys, don't go near him.
yeah, stay away from the strange man. But yeah, no, it's great. And every time Aubameyang and Lacazette are on the pitch together, I just love their celebrations. They're the first two to like celebrate with each other as well. They did the little handshake and bow and everything today with the goals. It's so far removed from Arsenal teams of the past where we've been crying out for strikers, because our last really good one was Van Persie, who people don't particularly want to remember or mention too much because of the nastiness at the end when he left. But to have two players, like Ellis said, you know, £50 million strikers, and now both £50 million strikers worth every penny. It's fantastic, and was just a great performance all round for the whole team, I thought, today.
Hopefully my robots are gone.
Yeah, you're all good, mate. You are
lovely, lovely. Let's just touch real quick on the last Ramsey goal. Just a couple of words each from you, because it was a lovely little through ball from Ramsey that Lacazette was able to get onto at the penalty spot. And again, that's why we bought him. Run in behind, play that ball through. Ellis, your thoughts.
I'm assuming you mean Aubameyang and not Lacazette.
Him too. Yeah, either one of them. They're both scoring goals.
They're both that good that we just think the same.
No, yes, Aubameyang, yes.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's brought into the team to do. He's got the pace to get in behind. And like we've been saying, when he gets in those positions, you just assume he's going to score because he is such a good finisher. And like John said, I also, when the subs came on away before Rams, I thought, hang on a bit, this isn't going to work. But both those two players, and Simon was talking about in our WhatsApp group, if anyone has fantasy league and took Aubameyang out of their team, they'd be gutted because he was apparently ill, came off the bench, got an assist and two goals, and Aaron Ramsey's got off the bench and got an assist and a goal as well. So you'd be fuming if you had both of those players sat on your bench at the time. But less said about that, the better, eh, Simon?
Yeah, luckily I kept him. I kept him in the match. I also kept Ozil though as well. So there was that. Anyway, I do believe I have jumped our good friend Lord Hill Wood in fantasy. So I do have that. Me and him are trying to make sure that we both finished near the bottom, sadly, I think. I'm just not a great fantasy player. John, I'm going to let you run with chat box questions. What do we have in there so far today?
Yeah, sure. So we've already got a few questions from the chat box, but if you do have any more, please feel free to fire them away and we'll try to get through as many as possible. Again, a big shout out to everyone in the chat box and everyone if you're listening later on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, wherever it is. Really, really appreciate the support. So first question we've got, Peter Coulson. So far, which of our players are benefiting most from Emery's coaching and philosophy? Jace, I'll let you have this because you've been hosting all day, so you can have a little chat yourself.
Yeah, I think the player who's come on the most and improved the most is most likely Iwobi. You look at he's much more positive now. He's that one player who will run with the ball at others. And I think that really suits our current style and what we're trying to do. And I think he's probably made the most improvement, gained the most from the way he's being positioned to, you know, what the other players around him are asked to do. And it's really complementing his game. I know, not the original Ginger on the podcast, but the other wannabe Ginger, our good friend Josh, has been sort of banging his drum, and I've given him some stick because, you know, I didn't feel Iwobi was good enough, but he's proven me wrong now, and I think he's probably the one who, by just leaps and bounds, has come on so much more from Emery and you know, Carcedo's instructions.
Yeah, I think I'd have to agree. It's probably Iwobi for me as well. Got another one here. Where are we gone? There we are. Marble Halls TV. In your view, why is... Oh, it's about Iwobi again. Why is Iwobi a different player? Is it all due to Emery or self-reflection? We've spoken quite a bit about Iwobi. I do think it is confidence. And it's just, you know, he's obviously getting coached differently. That, you know, all the players are. And I think it's just, you know, having a different manager makes a big difference. You know, he's been around Arsenal and the club for such a long time, and just that change can sometimes just freshen a player up. So I think it's a part of it's Emery, but part of it is, yeah, you know, maybe because the sort of atmosphere is different around the ground, and maybe there is you have to work harder and stuff now. So he has sort of looked at himself and what he's doing. West London Goon asks, Ellis, this one's for you. If we played the first two games of the season now, how would we do? If you answer that we would get at least a point in each, then at what point do we consider ourselves title contenders? Oof.
Cool. Wow. Well, the first part of that question, I think we probably would have got a point. We were close to getting a point against Chelsea, regardless of it being that new in the system for Emery to try and get that system onto the players. I think we probably would still lose to Man City now, if I'm honest. Not trying to be too negative, but I definitely think we probably could have got a point against Chelsea or even won it if we played them now. And I think when we play them again later in the season, with the way we are playing now, with that confidence, if it's still there, we could easily give them a run for the money and beat them. As for title contenders, I'm not going to get too far ahead of myself at all. I don't think we are title contenders. We're only a point behind City and Chelsea now, as it stands, with them both to play each other later. So, and one of them's going to drop points, or both, hopefully both of them, they're only 2 points ahead of us, and it gives us a better chance, and we are in the top four. And I think at the start of the season, I thought we'd struggle to get in top four. With United and their struggles, and Tottenham and those sort of teams, they could probably slip up. Those, I think, the two we're chasing. I don't think we are title contenders. I don't think we're at the level of City or Liverpool yet, but we're certainly going to be in the conversation for top four, because look, we're in the top four now and we're doing well. And we've quietly sort of snuck up there at first. We're sort of, yeah. I know before the kickoff, we were joint on points with Tottenham on fifth and only below on goal difference alone, but now we're in there and we've still got some fairly good results coming, fairly good teams coming up to play and try and get some results there. Obviously, Liverpool are on the horizon now, so we're getting close to them. And it would be a real statement if we managed to get a point against Liverpool and show that, yeah, we might not be title contenders, but we're definitely going to, we're going to try and compete to get into the top four. Because realistically, as nice as it is to watch teams like Carabag, that's a lie, it's not nice. We all want to be in the Champions League. And I know people bang on, we were there for X amount of years and we didn't really do anything. It's just good to be in there. It would just be nice to be sat down next season, hear that stupid choir sing and be getting ready for Arsenal to play one of the big teams. And
yeah,
I think it's definitely a possibility, especially with Emery and his record in the Europa League. It's not just the top four that will get us in there. We can win that as well. So I think I wouldn't say West London Goon that we are title contenders, but we're certainly improved and we are becoming more of a top four team that should be and warrants being in the top four.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd just very quickly, Bandu Henry, we are going to get to your question about Mkhitaryan. Don't worry, it's on the list. I know you're very anxious. You're very anxious to get that. I was the same at the start of the season. I was anxious about whether we'd make top four or not. But yeah, we're just looking so much better now. And the meltdown at United, I know they did come back to win yesterday, which is annoying. But he's still there. Mourinho is still there. Please stay. Sign. Just get another year. Get another year, Jose. Sign a new contract. Milk that extra money. We all know you want to get sacked. Get a new one. Work hard. Get a new one and then cock it up again. That's what you're good at. Thomas from Norway asks, how about the distance covered stat for the team? We're running more than most teams out. I don't actually have the stat, but Shreds, Dom has mentioned this before, said that we look physically like a much fitter team now when we seem to be running, you know, for longer.
Yeah, and I think a couple of journalists who have been in some training sessions this year with Emery have commented specifically this week about after a training under Wenger, the players, you know, he didn't really want to push too hard on the players. He wanted to keep them fresh for matches. He said, Emery, they can't go anymore. They're, you know, it's a training session and they need rest. And that's paying dividends now because we're finishing games much stronger than we did in the past. I still think we were a second half team, but we still tailed off and probably after 80, 85 minutes. And now we still look like we're still putting in the same effort, making the same runs late in matches. We have that extra bit of fitness that I think, you know, Darren Burgess has come in and given us. You know, I think it's much more tailored to the player now as well. It's really nice to see harder work also paying off. You know, I think it'd be one thing if we saw this and we'd be like, oh, well, nothing's really happened. And maybe we're in the eighth or ninth right now. And, you know, five to 6 points off, you know, top four, as opposed to where we are now. I really think that it's just the mentality shift. I think that's the important part there is it comes down to a mentality shift of what you're willing to do in training. And we're seeing that carry over into matches with sharper fitness, being able to run harder for longer distances as well. Some of those runs that Laka made today from deep in the midfield all the way back up to become, again, the first man were just absolutely insane. And it's great to see not just him, but other players as well. Putting those shifts in. So I can easily see that our distance covered just from an eyeball standpoint has had to have gone up.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I just think the work rate of the team, I think the first couple of games of the season, we looked a little bit tired in the last 10 minutes and it switched. And as you mentioned on the commentary that the players had the Friday off, which apparently wouldn't have happened last year under Arsene. It's like a different thing. And they came in on the Saturday instead. And I don't know. You know, whatever they're doing, it's working. So, more power to them. And just quick, you know, and also not having a good dig at Arsene, I hope he was sat at home with a nice glass of red wine and watching that, and in particular the Ramsey goal, because I bet he absolutely loved that. Because that's the football that he's been trying to make happen all his life. Big Bunny Kane, can you please talk about the three-man midfield of Xhaka Touré and Guendouzi in the last 10 minutes when Laka came off? Few people have mentioned this, Ellis. In that sort of last 10 minutes, it looked like we had gone to, it wasn't even a 4-3-3, it was almost a diamond at times, which a few people have been asking for in previous matches. But interestingly, Touré was higher up the pitch, and it was actually Guendouzi deeper at this point. Would that be a free in midfield that you'd like to see in some games, depending on the opposition?
It's certainly something we can try. Shout out to Big Bunny Kane as well. His name's Tony, and he plays FIFA in our pro clubs team. So, hello, Tony. But I'll be quite honest. The only thing I sort of noticed more about it, like you said and pointed out, was how far Torreira got up the pitch. I was a bit shocked to see that, and the fact that when Guendouzi came on, he was more deeper of the two. But it's certainly something we could try in maybe bigger games when the opposition are going to have more of the ball and you want to have a bit more solidarity in front of your defence. So that to have them there, Torreira running around, Guendouzi again, he's quite athletic, and having Xhaka there as well to sort of start the players off and get the passes going, having them do running around him, I think that would work quite well. The only sort of issue with that is it can be quite a narrow formation.
Yeah.
And if a team is sort of... It depends on the sort of team we're playing against, really. If they're pressing you and it's quite narrow, it's easy for them to press because there's not that much width there and they can just win the ball off you. And if you're also trying to get in behind someone, it's going to be more difficult if you're all trying to funnel in through the middle. And it's something that we've mentioned on many radio shows today, not today, but many radio shows this season, sorry, that we are quite narrow. When you look at the average positions, when we're trying to shoehorn Aubameyang, Lacazette, Ramsey and Ozil into the same team, their average position should be a cluster in the middle. So that might not be a good formation to use when you've got those players at your disposal. But with Guendouzi, Torreira and Xhaka, it's probably something that we could try in them games and we're not going to have a lot of possession. We need to be a bit more defensively solid.
Yeah, I think that's the kind of thing you can do if you've got, you know, Lacazette and Iwobi one side and maybe Welbeck the other, and then you've got a bit more width and the solid base, the three centre mids, who can all do varying roles within there. But I'm sure at some point we'll probably see that, and I wouldn't have a problem with it. We've had lots of people, and Bundu Henry Combs in particular, asking for us to talk about Mkhitaryan, who we haven't mentioned today. And then we've got one more bit about Ozil before the end as well. A few people have been asking questions about him. So just on Mkhitaryan, Treads, he was okay today. Obviously involved in the build-up for the Ramsey goal as well. Lovely weighted pass and had a couple of decent shots when he got the opportunity. But kind of in and out of the game at times as well. He seems a little bit hot and cold still at Arsenal, but when he puts a performance in, he's great. There's no denying that, and he's got great ability. It's just sometimes he's too quiet in games.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people are asking if we should, you know, specifically sort of sub Ozil for Mkhitaryan, and I still think no. I still think overall Ozil is a player that can have more of an impact when he's on than Mkhitaryan. Mkhitaryan's still a great player, and I love having him at the club, but he is inconsistent. He's had some good product with us this year, and then he's also had some not great, great matches, and he can easily hide. It is difficult because he's inconsistent. Because like you said, John, when he's on, he's really on and he's really good and he can completely take over a game. But I think we get that from other players. And I do like the fact that he does actually provide us a little bit more width going forward on the side. Because I know specifically when he sort of when he did contribute earlier on in the season, it was linking up with Bayer and down that right side. And I still don't know if I would, you know, rather see him over Ozil. I do know he's a player that can contribute something. I'm not quite sure specifically the best way to get him involved in that now, because at times he can leave the you know, Bellerin exposed. He's not, doesn't have the crispest passing at times as well. It can, he's a conundrum at times, because you do get, it's easy to get frustrated with him because he does have so much talent. And I'd still probably rather see Ozil. I think Ozil just gets a lot of stick, and I know that the injuries, people are going, oh, it's, you know, how can you prove back spasms? And is it just, we don't do this with any other player with any other injuries.
Yeah.
We don't question them like we do Ozil. And I'm not quite sure where that comes from. I think it's just he's got a languid style. And so we think like, oh, he doesn't look like he's doing anything. So he's not doing anything to get hurt. So how can he get hurt? But, you know, we don't know how individuals' bodies react. And I think we need to cut the guy a little break. And back spasms, I've had some. According to Nikki Wilson, I'm 45, so my body's breaking down. I've had back spasms, and the pain is blinding in them at times. It took my vision away for a couple of seconds. It was that intense. And you don't know when they're going to stop or pop up again. So, I don't think that the team's going to say that somebody's got back spasms if they don't actually have that. I don't think we've actually improved our reporting on player injuries this season. So I don't see why people want to continue to try and pigeonhole Ozil into this narrative of he's just lazy and he doesn't want to play away from home. Because technically the last few years he's played more than Ramsey, and nobody ever questions Ramsey's injuries. So it's tough. But I, with Mkhitaryan though, I still probably would like to see him more as a super sub or in some of the smaller games like this. And then hopefully he can find some form and play himself into some more consistent production.
Yeah, I think when I saw the lineup, I initially thought Welbeck will be one side, it won't be the other, and it'll be Mkhitaryan sort of behind Lacazette or playing in the midfield or, you know, wherever it is. So it was interesting to see him still playing from the right. On Ozil Ellis, obviously Jace touched on it there. We had a few people asking. Ashley Morris said, 5 goals with no Ozil. Does he really contribute enough to the team? JHQ, Mickey in for Ozil in bigger games. What do you guys think? We're obviously already talking about that. Matt Tibbetts as well was asking about Ozil. I've said a couple of times when I've watched the team so far this season, when Iwobi is one side of the striker and we have, whether it's Mkhitaryan or Welbeck have been the two, then the team looks more balanced. That obviously leaves space in the team for one more player, whether that's another striker up front in Aubameyang or whether it's Ozil in at number 10, although I'll be honest, we haven't really played with a 10 at any point this season, not properly. I think the team and the balance and the way it moves and everything, the fluidity just looks better. Clearly, it doesn't involve our best players, though, and that means you're losing Aubameyang and you're losing that kind of thing. Yes, Josh, I am saying almost, in fact, drop Ramsey. Yeah, it's a weird thing for me to say. I would only say that because I think Ramsey's being played in the wrong position a lot of the time and being played too high up the pitch. So what do you make of the Ozil thing now? Is it a case of he has to play out of his skin to get in the team at the moment? He's not an auto pick, like he was under Arsene. Because I think the rest of the guys in the squad are pretty much proving that, you know, they can do stuff without him now.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Emery's not afraid to sort of bench or rest the big name players or the most expensive players in the team. He's had issues before at PSG with the likes of Neymar on their egos. And I think now he's pretty determined to show everyone in the squad, not just Mesut Ozil in particular, but anyone, that, look, if you don't fit into the way I want to play or this particular tactic, then you're not going to play. And if you're not performing, you're not going to play until you sort yourself out. We'll give you more chances off the bench, and then you start to perform, then you get into the team. And I think that was partly what has happened to Iwobi. A lot of his games or good performances have come from coming off the bench. Today, he started and there wasn't a drop-off. He still looked good. In terms of Mesut Ozil, though, I don't think he necessarily has to play out of his skin to get into the team. I just think he needs to sort of realise that he's maybe not going to play in his best preferred position. And if he is going to get into the team, it is going to be playing, like you say, we don't really play with a number 10 at the moment. You sort of got wide attacking players. And for me personally, I prefer Mkhitaryan out there. Like you said, the balance is a bit off when Mesut Ozil's playing right attacking or left, right, whatever, where he's playing, he'll always drift in because that's where he wants to be. And it's difficult. It's a head scratch for Emery because you want to have your best players on the pitch all the time. And I don't know how he's going to work that out. But it's strange, isn't it? Both Mkhitaryan and Ozil today, have been sort of hot and cold, hit and miss. Yeah. They'll have games where they play really well. So it's hard to make a case for either. For me, it's just a preference on what I think looks better and what makes the team look better. But you could quite easily put him in this team today, and I still think we would have scored 5 goals.
I'll tell you what
I was encouraged at Carabag was actually the formation. And if we would have, I would much rather see, instead of like a sort of the way we did set up, almost set it up as a 3-4-1-2.
Yeah.
And you still have the Shaka Torreira sort of double pivot. You've got Ozil playing in his preferred position, and then you've got Aubameyang and Lacazette up top, and we're still getting most of our width from our fullbacks. So not a whole lot's going to change in that aspect. And I think we'd be slightly more solidly defensive. So that gave me some hope. But I think that's a way. And yes, that means dropping Ramsey. That means dropping a player who's also in the last year of his contract, who's not going to sign for us.
Yeah.
So I think that's where John's also coming at. And yes, he's a great player. We could bring him off the bench and he'll be able to slide into for Ozil in that 10 spot if they wanted, or if they could drop him back and maybe even take, you know, with 3 at the back, you could probably even take out Shaka for Ramsey at some times because you are a little more solid defensively. So that encouraged me, and I was interested to see if we were going to play it today, but not surprised that we didn't play that 3 at the back.
Yeah. Right, that is all the time we've got for questions today. So apologies if we didn't get to your questions. We really didn't have time to get through them all. We get so many each week, but absolutely appreciate all of them. Yes. And as always, great discussions in the chat box. So I'm just going to pass it back to you, Shreds, to wrap us up for the day.
Yeah, I will wrap us up. Thank you to everybody who watched today. If you haven't yet, tappy tappy on that thumbs up. Let us know what you think. Like us, hit that bell as well to subscribe. That way you'll be notified every single time that we go live. We do have a podcast. I know we're coming up on the international break. We will have a podcast this week. You're stuck hearing my American voice again talk about soccer. And you'll also hear a couple other another North American voice in OG, as well as Aussie Dom, who's up in North America. So it's a North American special. It'll be myself, OG Dom, and hopefully Danny will not just push buttons but join us, because he's always a treat to have everybody, you know, Dora run across the keyboard like she does all the time during podcasts and live shows. So don't forget to follow us on Twitter as well. But again, hit the thumbs up button, hit that subscribe button. That way you'll know anytime we're either live or a new podcast has been uploaded to YouTube. So definitely check that out. Thank you all again for watching. Farewell and ta-ta, cheeky monkeys.
Before we go, I'm just going to give Jay some abuse. Where's my T-shirt, Jace?
Oh, I didn't put my T-shirt on.
See, look, Ellis has got one. He's bragging so much he hasn't even worn it. Terrible.
Yeah. Sorry, Jason. I'll wear it next time.
Listeners, go give him some abuse. Bye-bye.
Mine's got socks.